Whomsoever the Son sets free,
free indeed. Hallelujah.
Stay free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And don't be entangled in a yoke of bondage. As the world wants to put you under its bondage, under its control. The devil is a thief. He wants to steal your joy. Because he knows the joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, and we need to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If we don't think that we need His presence, we are already deceived. We were made for Him. We were created for His pleasure. All things were made for Him. Isn't that right? Yeah. We're His creation, and we were made to praise Him. We were made for His glory and His honor. Hallelujah. And what a pleasure it is to give praise to the Lord. Amen. How many find your greatest pleasure is in His presence? Amen. See, God wants you to delight yourself in Him. If you're really finding your delight in Him, then the inferior things of this world, that the traps, the things that appear to be something that will make you happy or fulfill you, will just pale in comparison to His glory, His presence. His pleasure far surpasses any of the temporary pleasure of this world. And so that's why we should not have any other gods before Him. You know, when we become idolatrous, it's because we have disconnected and we've forgotten how good the Lord truly is. You know, we don't have to go to Six Flags to have pleasure. Amen. True pleasure, eternal pleasure, is in God's presence. Now, if you want to go to Six Flags, that's okay. But I'm just saying, you know, it does not compare to the glory, to the pleasure, to the presence of Almighty God. And we've been given access through Jesus, through His blood. And into this grace in which we stand, He's the one that makes us stand. Amen. You got to get out of the seat, out of the driver's seat, and get into rest. Get into trust. Just let Him go. And as we say, let God. And it's something we have to learn. It's a process, isn't it? Of God is weaning us off of ourselves. Amen. And when you're free from you're free indeed. God wants us to divorce ourselves from our soul life, that sensual life that just wants to, that's self-centered, really. How many realize that all sin is really selfishness? Yeah. And the root of it all is pride, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that what happened to Lucifer? He got proud. You know, if you ask God to keep you humble, He will. You may not like the way it happens, but it'll... He begins a good work in us, you know, and He's faithful to complete it. So if you are in Him today, if you're in Christ today, no matter what you go through, He's there with you in it. He's working through something out in us. You know, sometimes delayed gratification is the best thing for us. You learn to appreciate things more when you've had to wait for them. Christmas morning. How many remember counting the days to Christmas morning? And boy, by the time Christmas morning showed up, you were just like ready to explode. Just to run down to that tree and find what, you know, was there for you. And, you know, God is so much superior to the temporary things that we, you know, 3 days, 5 days later, like, oh, that was fun. Now what? I need a new toy now. But God gives us His love. His love, His presence. His presence is eternal. His presence is He is the one who fulfills. He's the one that completes. He's the one that truly satisfies. We can understand that, folks, then we won't seek after inferior things. We understand the will of God, the purpose of God is good for us. His heart is good towards you. God wants only to do well for you. Amen. To give you a future and a hope that is steadfast and secure. And so he's trying to get our attention. You know, because there are so many things that are screaming for our attention all the time. Over here, over here. You can spend your life running here and running there and never truly be satisfied because they're just distractions. The enemy is constantly trying to distract us away from him, from the Lord. So let's be seekers of his presence. And, you know, myself included, there's times I got to be reminded of how good God is. You know, sometimes you get up on like a Sunday morning and you're thinking, man, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm kind of tired. It'd be nice just to sleep in this morning. And the devil's saying, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. Why don't you just sleep in this morning? You deserve it. You've worked hard all week. And what you don't understand is that the greatest rest you're going to find is a rest in the Spirit. Yeah. It's rest for your soul, for your mind, and for your body. How many find that you get refreshed, you get rest when you come together with God's people? Amen? Yes. So you got to quit listening to that other voice. It's constantly trying to work on us. But God, you're so good to us. And I am grateful for the Lord's patience with us. The Lord is patient. In fact, he's more patient than we are. He's more gracious than we are. He's more faithful than we are. Sometimes we have short patience with one another. But that's not God. Thank God he's not like that. Thank God he's not like a man, right? He's not like human beings. But you know, the awesome thing is God begins a work of transformation in our lives, in our hearts, that we start to become like him. We're not acting like him. That's hypocrisy. We're becoming like him. We're being transformed into his image. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not of works, lest we should boast. It's not of my efforts, lest I should say, look how spiritual I am today. Well, I didn't cuss once today. I didn't have one evil thought today. But when God changes your heart, he changes everything else. And everything else begins to come into order. Yeah, into agreement with him who is holy. Again, he is the one that makes you holy. That's why you must worship God. You must approach him, open your heart, and let God in. Let him fill your life with his presence, with his holiness. And you'll be made whole in his presence. You can't fix you, and you can't fix others. We try to do that. Only God can change the heart. We can change attitudes. Amen. We can make right choices. But it's God, the Holy Spirit, who does the work of transformation. Amen. He takes that little pet tadpole and makes him into a frog. I don't want to look like a frog. How about using the butterfly illustration? That's a little prettier, right? Yeah. From a worm to a butterfly. In Romans 12, where it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's talking about metamorphosis. It's where we get that word metamorphosis, you know. And God is actually transforming. So fear not. Don't be afraid. If you come to Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. He'll never turn you away. He's not going to strike you dead. Amen? If you seek him. He's got the blood there in the mercy seat for you. So you can come boldly, confidently now to the throne of grace. Oh, if we tried to come in our own righteousness, we'd be smoke. We'd be dust, amen? But no, we can come by way of the blood of Jesus now. and we can receive mercy and find grace to help us. It's not of my efforts. It's of me being transformed in His presence from glory to glory. As I behold Him, I become like Him. Yeah. Ever notice people who are, you know, into certain celebrities, that they are their idols, they worship them, they dress like them, they walk like them, they talk like them, they want to be like their favorite celebrity. You will become like that which you behold. If you are behold, if that is your God, that's what you become like. Isn't it true? I mean, for me, it was rock and roll, you know, and my idols were these, you know, rock stars, and I just want to be like that person and that person. And after going through about 12 different identities and trying to find out where I fit in, I finally realized I don't have to be anybody else. All I need to be is me. It's okay to be you. Because if you're not you, someone's going to miss you. God made you unique and just like you, but let Him have you. When you take you and put you in His hands, He does a work of transformation. Isn't that wonderful? Quit struggling. Quit striving. Just seek Him. Worship Him. Walk with Him. Allow Him access to every room of your house. The attic, the basement, every part of you. Amen. Let God in. Let Him in. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear His voice, if you can still hear His voice, you better open the door. There is an appointed time. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And God is offering you grace and pardon today. If you will say yes today and open your life and let Jesus be Lord. Amen. Not just say He's Savior, He has to be Lord. If He's not Lord, He's not Savior. I'm going to say it again. If He's not Lord, He's not Savior. That's corrupt theology. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's a matter of walking in the footsteps of the Messiah, Jesus. And if I've discovered something I was always seeking, how many here were seeking pleasure in this world? Maybe you're still seeking it out there, you know. If I could just get to the next level, get a little bit more money, get a nicer house, a nicer car, a boat, I'm going to be truly satisfied. And then after you get it, you're like, now what? And sometimes God has to strip us down to bare bones before we can discover the true treasure. Been there. Discover, man, I don't need the stuff. I need Him. Amen. And guess what? With Him, all the stuff comes because He takes care of those things. But you're not seeking after stuff. He's just here to use temporarily. Amen. We got to eat. We got to have a place to live. We need a car, right? God knows what you have need of. Seek Him first. Seek Him above everything else. And He'll take care of the rest of that. And you're not going to be stressed out about what I'm going to do. Learning to lean on Him is where you find power. Your power is in Him. Your strength is in Him. Denying the self-life is to live in Christ. If you want the superior life of God, you have to deny your self-life. That selfish part of you, that's all consumed about itself. How can I be satisfied? How can I be, you know, recognized and important? And how can I be, you know, first? And how can I be best? And how can I be I? Are you hearing it? The selfish part of us is the part that has to, as Paul said, die. Has to die daily. Simply said, we have to say yes to God's voice and no to ourselves. If you want God's superior life, it's saying no to your selfish nature and yes to the Spirit of God. Amen? Yes to the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you'll have life and peace. You'll have joy in the Holy Spirit as you learn to say yes. Every time you're saying yes to God and no to you, and how many know it requires that? In order to say yes to God, you have to say no to you. That every time you say yes to God and no to you, you come alive. You experience His life. And you'll be filled. Amen. And there will be joy in your walk. Am I right, Irv? This guy oozes joy. He's probably making a lot of pre-Christians very uncomfortable being around you, you know? This is the kind of people I was like, man, I don't want to be around that guy. I remember those days. You know, yeah, there was a time when I was didn't want to be around those Christians. I'm not talking about the hypocrites, you know. We've all seen the hypocrites. We've all played the hypocrite, probably. But I'm talking about authentic, genuine Christians. You know, there was a few in my life, I remember, in those days. And it's like, I kind of wanted to avoid them. Why? Because when I got around them, I just felt exposed. Turn it off! You know what I'm talking about? Now it's like, hey, man, how's it going? Give me a hug. You know, those are the kind of people I want to hug onto, you know? And it's like, yeah, because we have the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. We're family. Isn't it amazing? What used to be normal is now abnormal to me. And the opposite is true, right? What used to be abnormal is now what? Normal. So anyways, thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'd open our understanding today, sow into our hearts your truth, seal it by the Holy Spirit, bring transformation to our lives, grant us repentance unto life in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know how many of you feel this way, and I don't know if it's just that I'm getting older, but it seems like the days are going so quickly. I'm just blown away of how quickly every day is just going by. The Bible does say that in the last days, you know, the days would be shortened. Whether we're in that season, it sure seems like days are shorter now. And there doesn't seem to be enough time, you know, to do what you need to do. I'm finding it very difficult. And what I'm also finding is that I have to really deliberately cut out stuff that may be good, but it's not productive. You know, things that are not necessarily a sin, but they're a weight. They're a hindrance. And because we only have so much time allotted to us, and nobody here knows how much time we have left. We don't know how much sand is in that hourglass. But God does. And it seems like we're reminded every day how quickly our earthly lives are passing away. And you know, folks, we need to think in terms of we are living in a temporary body, in a temporary experience right now, and that eternity is ahead of us, and that everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere. And children die, teenagers die, young adults die. You know, we don't expect these things, but they happen. I think of recently a young man that was starting to come, 20 years old. He's no longer with us. And we're reminded once again of how fragile life is, how fleeting it is, how temporary it is. How many are realizing that you need to get your priorities in order already? You need to make sure you are majoring on the majors and not on the minors. The enemy is good at getting you to major on the minors, you know, the unimportant things, to get you preoccupied, kind of like a gerbil in one of those wheels, you know, just kind of going around in a circle, spending yourself, but really not going anywhere. There was a song back in the 80s. I can't remember the name of the group. It was on MTV. I don't recommend MTV, by the way, but at that time, that was my thing, you know. But it was We're on a road to nowhere, was the name of the song, Road to Nowhere. And, you know, that's so true for so many, that their lives are really heading nowhere. We're in a hurry to get nowhere. And in the video, it was showing pictures of rush hour traffic and, you know, the rat race and everybody in a hurry to make the buck or whatever, you know, to get successful. And we're in a hurry to get what? To a place where we have it all and then we die. And where does it go? You know, it's a rat race. We're on a road to nowhere. Well, guess what? God didn't design any one of us here without purpose and eternal purpose. It's not all about just making it in this world. It's really about something eternal. And we are actually in the proving ground right now. We are being tested. We're being qualified for eternity, for what God has. I believe that. I believe that we are in the dressing room of eternity. We are being made ready for Jesus Christ. Amen. We are to be holy and presented to Him as holy. That means whole. Amen. Integrated. Body, soul, and spirit. Amen. One in Him. Holiness is not just me making a few corrections to my lifestyle. Holiness is God Himself. He is holy. There is only one holy God. Amen? He's holy. What does that mean? It means what He says, what He does, what He thinks, always agree. So if God thinks something, He'll say it and He'll do it. He's not like unholy people who will tell you one thing and do another thing. Or they'll tell you one thing and be thinking a different thing. But God is holy. And God said, Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. Now, the Pharisees thought they were holy because they were so righteous, you know. They worked so hard to be good. And they thought, well, we're the goodest people on the planet. It's one of those words I just make up, you know. And yet Jesus came on the scene and the light was on and they were exposed and all their hypocrisy was being brought right out onto the surface. All the hidden things were being brought to the surface. You know, Jesus was exposing it. Just being in His presence, folks. The light is on and there's an exposure. And that's why sometimes we get uncomfortable when it really gets heated up and God really begins to pour out His Spirit, because all of a sudden now the light's on and I feel like a cockroach that wants to go hide under a rock somewhere. The good news is that you don't have to be that cockroach. You can be transformed, right? And you can actually enjoy the holiness of God, actually enjoy the presence of God. If you confess your sins, if you repent of your sins, God receives you. The price has already been paid. Forgiveness is available. Amen. And holiness is imputed. Righteousness is imputed. It's given to you. Who is that? That's Christ in you, your holiness. I'm only as holy as I'm allowing Jesus to have me. If I'm giving Jesus just a few, you know, a few minutes on Sunday and the rest of the time is me, folks, you're not living in holiness. You understand, it's more than just coming to church. Should we be in church? Yes. But we're here to be equipped. Amen. We're here to be prepared. But holiness is God making me holy. You see, in legalism and in religion, it's all about you working towards some goal. But holiness is not something you can achieve. No matter how hard the Pharisee tried, the religious leader of that day, they could not be holy. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, the Holy One, they became exposed and aware. And many of them, they didn't like it and they wanted to crucify him. Get rid of this guy. He's raining on our parade. Everybody was calling us rabbi and teacher, and they were into titles, you know, and prominence and position. And they got really upset when all of a sudden people were like, we're out of here. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites. Jesus just turned the light on them, you know, and now they begin to see how they really were. And some of them, praise God, said, what must I do to be saved? There were those who did repent. There were those who did receive Jesus, but there are still those who in their pride would not admit that I'm not all that. And if you and I pretend to be what we are not, we will not become who God wants us to become. I really appreciate the transparency, you know, of fellow brothers and sisters who can just be honest that we're just not all that. That we want people to think we are. But we can say, well, you know what? We're in this together. We're here to help each other through. And the best thing I can do for you is give you Jesus, is point you to the only one who can save you and keep you, the only one who can make you holy and presentable before the Almighty God, the Father. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a appointed occasion, a time for every purpose under heaven. Solomon observed that there is a predetermined season for everything and a fixed time for everything that happens. You know, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and God had given him great wisdom. And Solomon, he was really looking at life through a natural man's perspective here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so it's a good book for the secular humanist to take a look at. And but he began to see the vanity in so much of what we do and what we occupy ourselves with. And he became very much aware that God is very much in control of things. And he sets times and seasons. You know, God, how many know that God does not operate according to our calendar? Today is Mother's Day, and we want to honor the mothers here. But you know, folks, I'm not going to preach on Mother's Day, you know, because it's tradition. God's not on our calendar, folks. He's got his own calendar. He sets the times, the dates, the seasons. Amen? And we got to get on his calendar. We got to get in sync with him. Each one of us has been given but one life. Would you agree with that? It's not this reincarnation thing. Well, if you don't get it right the first time, you can come back in the next life and hopefully you'll go from a tadpole to a toad or something, you know. And if you were righteous enough in the last life, you know, that's a lie. Because the Word of God, and I believe the Bible to be true, and Jesus said, wisdom is justified of her children. Those who are of the truth will know that Jesus is speaking the truth. And his Word is true. And when you hear truth, you're going to have to be, you know, you're going to have to make a decision whether I'm going to receive the truth, what is authentic, or I'm going to try to fool myself to make myself feel good about the way I want to live. So, there's no such thing as reincarnation. The Bible says very clearly, I think it's Hebrews 9:27, and it is as it appointed unto man once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. So, folks, turn to your neighbor and say, you have one shot at it. One shot at it. We have but one life. One life. One natural life. So what you do now is going to determine who you are in eternity. What you become now is going to determine who you are in eternity. You understand, folks? It's not when you die, God fixes you. You must be born again now to be ready for that life. You must be transformed now. That's why we should be seeking God for his will and for him to perfect us in his holiness. Because when the hourglass runs out, the sand runs out, it's over. There's no time to go back and fix anything or patch anything up or make changes or make reconciliation or forgive people. You know, it's going to be over, folks, and it's time to see the man, Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, amen, and the righteous judge. It is appointed unto man once to die. We're in a race. We're running through this life. We're going somewhere. Now, hopefully, everyone here understands the destiny and the purpose for your life. Because if you don't know your purpose, you will live dysfunctionally. Am I right? If you don't understand why I'm here, you will waste your time trying to claw your way through the dark, trying to figure out, well, what's this? Let me try that. No, that didn't work. Well, what about this? We don't have time to waste. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know how much time we have as a nation, folks. Things in our world are happening suddenly. The Nepal earthquake, the latest. How many people, I don't know, thousands, perished in a moment. Nobody thought that was going to be their last day, folks. We don't know. And that's why we must pay attention. We must repent. We must change our mind. We must wake up and realize that eternity is before us. And we're going to spend eternity somewhere. And I want to be ready for eternity. I want to be ready to meet Jesus. I don't want to be ashamed before the King of Kings, amen, and the Lord of Lords in that day because I have lived a sinful life in rebellion to His purpose for me, that I had been selfish. How many know that God's commandment was always to love and to give and to share? It's not about me. It's not about what I can get. It's how can I be a blessing? That's the heart of Jesus. Jesus came to give. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. How many here have done some gardening in your life? How many realize that there's a time and a season for everything that you do, right? You got to prepare the soil. You've got to obviously plant the seed. And you don't, unless you're growing dandelions, you don't plant dandelion seeds, right? You don't need to. They'll automatically grow. But those things seem to find themselves everywhere, you know? If you're ever growing a garden, they're there too, those dandelions. And they're stout. Those weeds are stout. And they like to choke out the life of the good seed. But you prepare the soil. You see, the soil is our hearts. God prepares the hearts. He brings us to a place of brokenness, just like hard ground has to be broken up, tilled up, so that it's now in a place of receptivity, so you can drop seed and it will take root. Amen? And then there's a time where you cover up the seed and you wait and you go out every day and you see, no, nothing yet. I'm one of those guys that go out every day. You know, the next day I'm still out there looking. There's no, nothing yet. Now, you see, that's a good example of faith, isn't it? You sow that seed in faith. You don't see any instant results, but you believe if I plant the right seed that someday I'm going to reap a good harvest. So it is in your spiritual life, as you are sowing in the Holy Spirit, as you're sowing this life now for the will and the purpose of God in Jesus' name, the day will come when you will have a harvest. But if you decide that, no, I'm just going to live for myself, I'm just going to sow myself into my own life, live for myself, guess what? You're going to have a harvest too, but it's going to be a harvest of weeds, and there's going to be nothing eternal left. So we understand through nature that there is a season to everything. What happens, folks, if that seed doesn't produce? Well, after harvest, it gets plowed under. Do you understand, folks, there's coming a time when it's going to be all over for you? It's going to be all over for me. What have I done with my life? What have I done for eternity? What is going to be left? Because when harvest is over, it's over, folks. There's no time to go back and plant seed. The foolish man, see, he didn't plant seed. He didn't walk by faith. He didn't trust. He didn't believe God was good. So he lived only for himself. He didn't live for the good God, the Creator. And then the day came when it was time for harvest. And well, he didn't plant any seed. It's too late. You can't go back. You understand, folks, we are speeding through this life. Everything is going very quickly, and it's very temporary, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what this afternoon holds for us, folks. Are we ready to meet our Creator? Have you lived your life for Jesus Christ? Well, guess what? It's not too late. If you're willing today to repent and give your life to Jesus Christ, He will not reject you. He will receive you. He will open your spiritual eyes. He will reveal His plan and His purpose for your life, and it is glorious. God wants to give you the kingdom. He wants to share His glory with you. Don't waste it on this world, on this temporary life we live in. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 8:15, but the ones, the seed that fell on the good ground, are those who, having heard the word, having heard the truth, having heard the heart of God, said with a noble and good heart, with a noble and good heart, they keep it. They keep the word of God, and they bear fruit with patience. This is something, folks, that I've witnessed in our day and age like no other time, I believe. We are in such a hurry. Everything is sped up. Everything is instantaneous. Even especially the young people, folks, they don't know what it is to wait for anything. Everything is instant text, instant food, instant this, instant that. And we don't have any patience to wait for something. But I want to tell you that the most precious things, the superior realities, are those things that are worth waiting for. People who do well even in the natural are people who are willing to work hard and had a plan. They had a goal. They were working towards something. And people that dream big are able to, often to achieve big. Are you hearing me? God has an eternal plan for us, a big plan for our lives. Amen. Not to give us a nominal existence, but to give us a future and a hope that is glorious and a kingdom, amen, that is prepared for us. Because we are now living for Jesus. We are living for eternity. We are plowing, amen, and planting now and watering now the harvest of hearts and souls for eternity. That word patience means cheerful or hopeful endurance, patient waiting. Those who are hearing the word and those who are receiving it are believing it. And they're saying, you know what? I may not see any instant results, but I believe what God says, and I'm going to live my life according to the principles that God has taught me by His Spirit. And as I live in accordance with the will of God for my life, there is coming a day, according to Galatians 6:9, that I will reap. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not give up, if we do not lose hope. That patient endurance is what we need to wait on God and know that if I serve Him, if I live my life for Jesus, I may not see a lot of temporary results or even immediate results, but the day will come that which I have sown in the Spirit will come back. It will return to me. Amen? Come on, somebody. It's good to serve the Lord. Never be weary. Never give up. Keep on sowing. Keep on planting. Keep on watering. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking Him. Keep on telling people about Jesus. Amen? Keep on loving people. Keep on reaching out. Because the day will come when that which you have sown will return to you. Don't look at what it looks like right now. Don't be like the farmer that goes out and sees the ground. Well, there's seed there, but I don't see anything. And then gives up and neglects the harvest. You know, we can neglect our lives because we're not seeing instant results. We can disconnect from prayer and from worship and from communion with the Lord because we're not seeing instant results. There's too many that are saying, I want it now. I want what God has for me right now. Well, guess what? God does have some right now things for you, but there's some other things that you're going to have to wait for. And if you don't have patience, folks, you'll end up wasting your life. When Moses went up on the mountain, you know how the old saying goes? When the cat is away, the mice will play. And he was gone a long time and they began to lose hope that maybe he's not coming back. And they began to fall into idolatry. They began to worship themselves. And they turned away from the worship of the true God. And as a result, judgment came on those. James 5:7 says, therefore, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Waiting patiently for it until it receives what? The early and latter rain. How many are getting under the spout where the glory comes out? How many are in His presence, getting immersed in the Holy Spirit? How many know, folks, you cannot bear fruit unless you're a worshiper of God? You want to zip your lips and sit there tight-chested, folks? God's not going to intrude on you. It's okay. You just sit there and you just wither. But God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. God wants to water you. God wants to saturate you so your life will bear good fruit. Because you and I cannot bear fruit apart from Him. We can't do it. You cannot live apart from Him. You must have a hunger and a thirst for Him. If you're not hungry for God's presence, what it means is you're full of something else. You are satisfying yourself with lesser things. When we're hungry and thirsty for Him who really satisfies, you won't be disappointed. We have to be deliberate about this, folks. There's times you just got to say, you know what? These good things that I like to do, these things that I like to enjoy, are no longer going to be a priority. Because what I've discovered is that the greatest delight, the greatest joy, the greatest pleasure is the Lord Himself. And once again, God allows us sometimes to get into places or to be in places where times get difficult, life gets difficult, so that we stop worshiping stuff. We start turning to Him, and then He reveals Himself when we turn to Him, and we say, oh, how good and how pleasurable the Lord really is. I delight in His presence. There is truly joy in His presence. Only Jesus satisfies me. And so you're going to continue to fail until you come to the place in your life where you realize that life is not in the things that you possess. Well, life is in Him. He is your life. God's going to continue to allow us to fail over and over again until we come to the end of ourselves. And we say, okay, God, I surrender. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. That's freedom. Isn't that cool? Freedom is in surrender. Freedom is in being a bond servant to Jesus. our natural mind can't wrap around that. But the reality is you're already in bondage to yourself until Jesus sets you free from you. And you find your life is now in Him. Superior life. James 5:8 says, "You also be patient." Listen, folks. "Establish your hearts." Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, to be steadfastly fixed. Fix your hearts. Be resolute. Be determined in your heart that I'm going to follow Jesus. Because the coming of the Lord is near. Don't be like the foolish ones who made no preparation. The five foolish virgins had no oil, no extra oil. And the bridegroom came, Jesus Christ, in an hour when they did not expect. We need to be living in a state of readiness and of preparation, because our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is coming, and He's coming for His church. He's coming for His bride. He's coming for a ready people. Are you ready to meet Jesus today? Have you surrendered your life? Have you surrendered your life to the One who alone can save you, who alone can give you immortality? You cannot save yourself. Your own goodness is not good enough. You need His holiness. You need His goodness. You need to receive Jesus, and you need to listen to His voice. David said, "Lord, make me to know my end. What is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am?" You see, only God knows the number of our days. And the New Living Translation says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life will be." In Psalms 90 and verse 12, this is a prayer of Moses. He said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." In other words, prepare yourself, because your days are limited. Your days are numbered, and you're going to be facing eternity, folks. How many know that's true? You're not going to be reincarnated. You're not going to go into a grave and perish there. There is appointed a day in which God shall judge the world by that man whom He has ordained. And He's given assurance of this to us, and that He has raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Christ is risen from the dead, and He is the judge of the living and the dead. And every knee is going to bow before Him, and every tongue is going to confess Jesus is Lord. Amen. There is a judgment seat of Christ. There's a time when we're going to see Him, the man Christ Jesus. Be ready to meet the Lord. Prepare your house. Establish your heart. Be rooted, be grounded in the Word. Be rooted and grounded in your relationship in Jesus Christ. Don't allow the temporary things of this world to distract you from eternity. Don't allow the devil to rob you of your eternal inheritance. Don't allow him to dissuade you, amen, and to draw you away into folly, into a life that leads to shame and to death. It's time to wake up. It's time to receive the life that God has. It's time to return to God with all of our heart. See, we're good at giving God our spare change, you know, our leftovers. Yeah, God. But Jesus didn't die on that cross, folks, for just our leftovers. He didn't even die on that cross for our retirement year. Some people say, "Well, when I retire, I'll serve Jesus." What are you doing right now? How do you know you're going to retire? What are you doing right now as far as your eternity? Are you really, do you understand that you're facing eternity here? And are you sowing for just this life, or are you sowing for that life? We sow in faith. We may not see the instant results. As a matter of fact, those listed in was it Hebrews 11? Many of them, this is a faith chapter, many of them did not see the promises of God in their lifetime. But God had a plan for them. And they got a hold of God's plan. They got a hold of God's will. They understood, this is who I am, and this is why I've been created. This is my real purpose for being here on this planet. And they begin to live according to that purpose, the purpose of God for their lives. And they weren't looking for instant gratification, instant results. They lived by faith, knowing that someday, because of God's character, God's nature, that He's going to reward me for what I have sown now. Sow in the Spirit. And someday you will reap. Don't get weary. Don't give up because you're not seeing anything right now. And even God will lift you up out of situations where you're in right now. And He's going to reward you even in the temporary, in the now as well. But be faithful. Don't look at your neighbor and say, boy, I wish I lived like they. I wish I had what they had. I wish I had a life like them. No. You can't be them, they can't be you. And each one of us has our own cup to drink. It's going to look differently for all of us. Everybody suffers in this world. Everybody has good times and bad times. It's not a matter of good times and bad times. If you're just living for good times, you're going to miss that which is eternal. We need to be faithful in season and out of season. We need to be faithful to God, knowing that even though I may not feel good right now, maybe things are going hard in my life, I'm still going to serve my Lord. I'm still going to be faithful to my Lord. I'm still going to love Him. Amen. I'm going to tell people about His goodness. It doesn't matter what's happening to me, because it's not about me anymore. It's about Him now. Jesus died for me. I can live for Him. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk diligently, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Do you understand, folks, there's a connection to being foolish and not knowing what God's will is, right? We've got to know what God's will is. And then it goes on to say in verse 16, right after he says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He says, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you see how, have you ever seen that before? How verse 17 and 18 go together? If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to know the heart and the mind and the will of God. You're not going to know the will of God. If you want to be a shutdown, you know, you want to shut the gate to the Spirit of God, you're just going to continue to walk around in blindness and barely scraping through. You know, God does not want us to survive. He wants us to thrive. He doesn't want us to be on an IV drip, a spiritual IV drip, barely surviving. He wants us to have life abundantly. And the awesome thing is, it's in His presence. We're under an open heaven. We have access to the throne of grace. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many have discovered when you worship God and you really open your heart to worship Him, all of a sudden you become aware of the will and the purpose of God? All of a sudden things begin to become clearer. All of a sudden there was like this thing that was in you that was sort of knew about, but all of a sudden that thing just really starts to come out. There's some treasure in you. There's an ability. There's a drive in you. There's a motivation. There's a desire that's burning in your heart all of a sudden that you want to serve. You want to give. You want to love. That's the Spirit of God working in you. But you've got to yield to Him. You've got to open your heart. You've got to be a worshiper. And then He will begin to turn the light on inside and you'll begin to see your purpose. Let me leave you with this, folks. One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Make the most of every opportunity you have. Don't waste your life any longer. Live for God. Live for eternity. Amen. How many would say, I hear you, Lord. I hear you speaking today. How many are receiving this word today and say, you know what, God's really speaking to me today. He's turning the light on. I don't really know if I like it, but it's true, and I know I need to say yes. If that's you, you need to say yes, Jesus, right now. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my body. I give you all of me. Lord, take me and make me after your will. Make me a vessel of honor. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and change me into your likeness, into your image. Make me like you, Lord. Open my eyes to the will of God for my life. Jesus, I want to do your will, so show it to me. I'll wait on you. Amen.